Grace to you and peace from God who is, who was, and who is to come. Amen. So let me begin by saying that I believe that God is absolutely able to create a fish so large as to be able to swallow an entire adult human being whole. I also believe that God is able to make certain that that human being can survive in the fish's digestive tract for 3 days, relatively unharmed, and that further, that fish can then spit up that human being onto a riverbank, and finally, that once that person is cleaned up from whatever was floating around there in the fish's stomach, that person would be able to roam the streets of a major city proclaiming the wrath of God that was about to be inflicted upon those urban dwellers. I believe that God is absolutely able to do that. I also believe that this could just as easily be a morality tale, much like Aesop's fables. The interpretation of this book, the story of Jonah, for many individuals across the ages has been a point of contention. For me, though, it really doesn't matter one way or the other. At various times in my life, I have argued both that this was indeed a factual event and also that it has been an amazing morality tale. What apparently has not bothered the overwhelming majority of people about this story of Jonah, and does bother me, is that Jonah, with all of his objections to serving God, comes across, in my simple and not so humble opinion, Jonah comes across as kind of a jerk. So to better understand this story, we need to take a quick look at the story of Jonah as a whole. So back in chapter 1, Jonah gets this call from God. Go at once into Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. Now, because I'm going to guess you're probably not all that much up on your Old Testament history, Nineveh is one of the major cities of the Assyrians. The Assyrians have been kind of frenemies to Israel, more often enemies than friends, but what you really need to know is that Jonah really does not like the Assyrians. Jonah responds to this command from God by heading to the port of Joppa, which is on the Mediterranean coast, and catching the first ship that he can find going west, which happens to be toward the city of Tarshish. West also happens to be the exact opposite direction of Nineveh. Jonah hops on the boat, quickly falls asleep, and while asleep, a storm comes along. Jonah wakes up, and he's informed of the situation, and he confesses, in an apparent act of contrition, that he is the reason for this storm, because he's running away from the Lord God. And after a vain attempt to outrun the storm, and at Jonah's urging, the sailors toss Jonah overboard. The storm abates, the sailors are safe, they give thanks to the Lord God. God, as it turns out, has a bit of a wicked sense of humor, and sends one of the first known underwater human transport systems ever recorded to pick up Jonah. This is otherwise known as a VBF, very big fish. Now, while in his new aquatic home, Jonah has a change of heart, and a bit grudgingly, he agrees to proclaim God's message. He has this wonderful prayer in Jonah chapter 2. It could almost be considered a psalm. The whole book of Jonah is only 4 chapters. Go home, read it. It'll take you less than 10 minutes. I know, what am I doing trying to get you to read the Bible? Anyway, Jonah is then vomited up onto the riverbanks of Tigris. Tigris River is in modern-day Iraq. Hopefully, presumably, he's now bleached white by the stomach acids, but Jonah cleans himself off, marches about a third of the way into Nineveh, and boldly proclaims, 40 days more, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Then, just as boldly, Jonah marches back out of the city, sets up his tent, and sits back to enjoy the impending destruction of this people that he really does not like. He wants to see those Assyrians burn. The kicker here, though, much to Jonah's chagrin, the people of Nineveh repent, including the king. Judgment is averted. Now, one might think that Jonah would be overjoyed at these events. Not only are there now more believers in the Lord God Almighty, but lives are saved. Yet, what did we hear? "Oh, Lord, is not this what I said while I was still in my own country? That is why I fled to Tarshish at the beginning, for I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, ready to relent from punishing. And now, oh Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." Let's get this straight. There are more believers in the Lord God. Death and destruction have been avoided. People get a second chance for life, and this Yahoo Jonah is ticked off? What is wrong with this guy? I mean, I would never do anything. Oh, well, okay. All right. I have to admit, I am the kind of driver who, when driving at 10 miles over the speed limit, and suddenly I see in my rearview mirror some guy come ripping up and sit right there on my bumper, I know that if I do not, at the earliest possible time, move into the right-hand lane, that this person is going to rip into that lane, pass me on the right-hand side, pull into my lane, go taking off, and I will be very hard-pressed to not wave at that individual, not using all of my fingers. Which is bad enough on its own, but it really is not good when I'm wearing my uniform. I am not a nice driver. I'm trying to get better, but I've been working at it for 20 years and it really hasn't changed a whole lot. But for that matter, I know that I'm really not that nice of a person. I know that I have a swift temper. I have an acid tongue. And I can hold a grudge. I think I tend to be far too much like those workers in the vineyard who got all ticked off because they worked all day long and then got paid exactly what they agreed to work for, while those folks who came and worked only 1 hour got paid a full day's wage as well. Like Pastor Virgin said, that's not fair. Let me ask you this. Where do you think you fall on that scale? Do you think you're more like the generous landowner? Or do you tend to side with those day-long workers who grumbled about receiving a day's wage for a day's work? One of the reasons that I think that I struggle so much with the book of Jonah is that I'm too much like him. I avoided my call to ministry for a long time. I tend to get way too angry at folks who don't see ministry in the same vein as I do, because, of course, my vision for this congregation is the correct one. I know that I am not a nice person. But you know what? Neither are any of you. I say that because St. Paul wrote in the letter to the Romans, "All of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That kind of bites. None of us are good enough. All of us are under that same word of condemnation that Jonah gave to Nineveh. 40 days and be overthrown. We all need to fall on our knees before God, before one another. Confess the wrongs that we have done, the arrogance that we hold onto, that righteous indignation that we so cherish. All of us need to stop our objections to God. Bow down before the Almighty. Confess our sins, our inadequacies, our faults, our failings, our good intentions that end up causing more harm than helping. We need to learn to work together, to support one another, to disagree civilly, and to be able to come to a mutual agreement in all things. Jonah's a jerk. So am I. Christ forgives us all, regardless. Amen.